pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Bowman.
Here.
Shute.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Moblow.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Nemechek.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Jeff Ross. Monica Ross.
Jeff did contact us. He was stuck in Chicago. He'll get here.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to excuse Jeff.
I'll second.
Motion and second. Roll call, Pat.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblow.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye.
Shute.
Aye.
Let's move on to consent agenda, so the approval of minutes from the December 20th meeting.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second. I've got a motion and a second for approval of minutes from the December 20th, 2021 meeting. Roll call, Pat.
Shute.
Yep.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblow.
Abstain.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemechek.
Aye.
Place.
Abstain.
Bowman.
Aye.
Let's move on to hearing. Citizens present on non-agenda items. Yes. Reports of officers and boards and standing committees. Scott.
None tonight.
Unfinished business. Looks like we're good there. Let's move right along to development plan review of 211 Water Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you may recall, last month we had a preliminary review for this project. It's located at 211 Water Street. It is the Country Now and Then, up the Lazy River building that was sold to Kirkby. They are proposing to add on to the existing building the west portion of it. It has an existing two-story, and they plan to renovate that and then add a second story on the east portion of the structure to create two residential second floor units. They have submitted some preliminary sketches and drawings of the proposed renovations. Some additional detail will be coming to further supplement this in regards to their architectural detail. And it's anticipated if the parking questions answered tonight and the plan is approved, it could go to the Main Street Design Committee for their review and recommendation. And then if the Planning Commission so wishes, they could come back if you want to review those recommendations, or if you're satisfied with that, coming back to staff, that can be done as well. So as I mentioned, this is adding two residential units. The downstairs first floor retail is anticipated to remain the same. As we talked about, the additional of these two one-bedroom units would require two parking spaces in addition to the existing. And as it sits now, we do not have room on site and no anticipation of developing the site to create those two spots.
Okay.
We talked last month in regards to having them explore all available opportunities to perhaps find a couple spaces, but if not, they did plan to come back and request a waiver from the Planning Commission for those. So with that, I have submitted checklist for the Central Business District and also for site plan review for the projects. Of course, these are draft findings, and you can adjust them as any way you fit. So if you have any questions on this, I'd be happy to address them now. We do have this representative here to discuss the project further.
Okay. Is that the project, or is it?
Heather, yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't prepared to present, but you guys saw the architectural drawings. So just please note that the downstairs units more than likely will be broken into three storefronts with the A, B, and C building that are there with the two units on the top. We are still working with the planners to keep the building historical in the front facade, as well as the rear that will overlook the river. But we do anticipate changing the windows to keep them more historic and spacing them out further, potentially adding some more on the front and or sides. So that has not been finalized yet.
Open this up to the public at this point. Open this up to the public for any questions about this project.
Have you checked with Bob Grove with respect?
I'm sorry. Can you stand up, say your name and address?
Carl Van Dahlen, 725 Lake Park Drive.
Okay. And then what's your question?
The question I've got is that the Dilworth Hotel is directly across the street, or close to directly across the street. They do have ample parking behind that particular property. I'm wondering if Bob might accommodate two additional type of residents. I know he's a big supporter of the city, and again, depending upon whether these are full-time or part-time residents within these two particular situations, I think that he would entertain necessarily making that, or a variance would be appropriate.
Okay. Thank you for that suggestion. Anything else? All right, I'm going to close questions to the public and open it up to the board. Anyone have any specific questions?
Would the, Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want to give the court rights an opportunity for public comment.
Sure.
There, Jason.
That's a really good suggestion.
You're
going to
get as far along as quickly.
Yeah.
I'm Michelle Portway, 221 Water Street, Lexburg River, for the Kirkbees, and I'm here to do a fabulous job. It'll be a wonderful development. I just wanted to share my parking experience from my business. When we moved in 1984, we were required to add parking in order to add staff and to add up to my building. And it was really a hardship for me. At that time, I didn't have the funds to do it, but we worked it out. And over time, I was able to purchase both parking lots and add to the building and build the business. So, you know, the parking issue has been a problem for a long time. And if there's a way that the Planning Commission can see their way through to offer some kind of relief to the Kirkbees, I think that would be a good idea. Because we're going to have more and more happening downtown. And to put that on the property note is hard.
Yep.
So anyway, just climb the stairs, sorry. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep.
All right. I will now close it to the public and up to the board. I had a question. How is it handled for the apartments on Main Street and Water Street now? They both all there. How does it's just no parking? They've been around long enough.
They've been there for many years, and historically they've parked in those lots adjacent to them.
The railroad building.
And when they were developed, there were no specific requirements to have them creating parking. So,
has there ever really been an issue with a tenant or anything like that we've heard about parking issues?
I believe some people were putting up signs for declaring it for their own use, but those are minor problems. I do believe they coordinate with the street department for plowing and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Move out this day and we'll plow that day, that kind of stuff.
So the majority of the apartments that are in downtown just work with the public parking that's available?
Right. There's no specific dedicated public spaces for those, and they make it work.
Okay.
There are, I will clarify, there's on Boyne Avenue, there's alley with parking behind some of those underneath, you know, Red Mesa.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know there are maybe six spaces on all properties?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very
many.
Question.
there's a substantial amount of central business district design requirements that talk about materials, et cetera, et cetera. Would those be handled by the Main Street Design Review?
Not specifically. They are more a recommendation body, and they look at architectural details, but not specifically ordinance requirements.
Okay.
So that, you know, it goes back to my previous statement. Would you feel comfortable with it going to the design committee and then staff coming back for final review by planning commission?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a question, but more of a comment kind of towards, I think that we really need to look at just waiving the parking spots for them. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it was pretty much the general consensus. I know you weren't, you and Nicole weren't here last time, but it was pretty much that, you know, we talked it through for quite a while, and there were more of the owners were here, and the property, the new property owners were here, and, you know, our feeling, at least my feeling, was that if they want to rent out the residential units above the commercial units, that's something that they will have to come up with a solution that makes them able to do that. And if they can find tenants or even weekend or, you know, short-term rentals that want to do that, and they have to park a block or so away, and that works out, then, you know, that will be their problem to solve.
Right.
And and I think the benefits of having two or three now might be, you know, retail storefronts in the downtown is plus two new residential units, because the one above there now has not really been used as a residential unit. But I think those benefits far outweigh the parking problem that might be arise from this. So you know, I'm very much supportive of this.
Thank you,
Jim. Anyone have any
questions, comments?
I'll go next. I'm full support of what Skylar and Jim said, that the benefits of three retail and two housing units far outweigh requiring some parking on site. Our parking study shows, you said this last month, that there's ample parking within 300-foot radius. And you also had a statistic that how often those are empty. It's quite significant that they're not full 100% of the time. So I think this is a benefit. And I agree with Jim that the responsibility of finding winter parking is on their shoulders. But for us to waive the parking makes sense so they can progress with their project.
Thank you, Tom.
Mr. Chair, in regards to Mr. Donlin's question, I know in the last month's discussion, they indicated that they would explore all possible opportunities, and perhaps that was explored.
We haven't completely blanketed, you know, the neighborhood, because it's going to be, you know, a couple months out before this is potentially even up and running. So we do have some, I don't want to call them candidates, but we do have some possibilities in the works. And so we want to move forward with the project, and we don't want to end up, you know, stumbling down the road and finding out, you know, it's not working with a partner that we've agreed with. And then, you know, kind of have like these units then that don't really have any, you know, allocated parking or waived parking for, you know, within the city.
I have a question, or maybe it's a suggestion. I know that the map that you provided in that packet was very helpful on indicating where parking is, but is there any sort of plans and works to maybe have it more publicized out there for when people are driving around of where parking
is? That's a map that I produced.
Right, I know. But like, no, but I'm saying just in general, you know, you have these short-term rental people coming in and they have no idea where parking is. You know, we had clear signage you know, or that way if they're driving and never been here before, maybe for them it wouldn't be such a, you know, concern.
All the parking all have pretty a lot of signage. And also I know that they've been in the works for quite a few years on actually coming up with a walking map of Wayne City and having locations in that. It's a very difficult process to get forward. We could definitely, I think we should look at the parking signage, but I feel like there's a lot of it. And I know that through different publications that we have through the chamber, there are great walking maps already made that you're revised every year. So that would just be a suggestion to do short-term rentals, and that's part of, hey, here's some literature that might help you out. I know that if you do a short-term rental, there's a lot of information that comes your way that says, hey, this is the type of parking situation we're in. And that's something that they'll have to handle anyways. But yes, I do agree, it's a really good tool. Hard to implement.
Well, and I know that there's a lot downtown, you know, like parking, no parking 2 to 6, but, you know, like a lot over here, I don't know if there's a very clear sign that shows it, you know.
Which one?
The one that's behind the building, off to the left, like behind the river.
In the parking lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's got a couple of really big signs.
Maybe they're just not very bright and out there. Because if I look around at like other towns, like usually they're like bright colored and then you can't miss them. Does that make sense? Like maybe just updating those kind of things so it's a little more eye catching than versus, yeah.
Sure.
But otherwise, I'm totally, you know, willing to waive the parking. And I think we're returning to planning commission for final review would be a good suggestion as well. That's in there.
All right. Tim, do you have anything you want to add?
No, my questions that I had, I basically asked at the last meeting when you guys were here, just your desires with that rental space, with that residential development, if it was going to be long-term or short-term rental. But I know you guys had a lot of different options as far as reaching out to different private property owners, trying to find a solution, a long-term lease or usage lease there. With a short-term rental, I will just say, and I know I don't have any doubt that you guys will basically be communicating that recruitment ago. I just know some short-term rentals will be coming with toys and boats and snowmobile trailers and stuff like that. So as long as with that advertising and that listing material of the short-term rental, it's known with the, I don't want to suggest to you, but it would be a good suggestion just to advertise that short-term rental leasing with the public parking stipulations, essentially, you know, from this time frame in the winter, you can't be on the public road. That way it just covers you as a developer and the property owner as well. But I don't have any other questions.
Awesome. Thank you, Tim. All right, Scott, let's just start going through the development finding facts, please.
Okay. So like I said, we have two articles. We have the Central Business District standards, and we also have standards for site plan review. So would you like to go through the Central Business District?
Yeah, let's go through that one first. Okay.
First is the development plan. The development plan has been provided, albeit additional details will be added as needed if the architect is the parking is way in.
Okay, so
move forward.
Is this where staff would have discretion on that with recommendations from the design committee of the Main Street?
Well, it depends on what the planning commission's desire is, whether you want to come back or not.
Okay.
Typically, the process is it goes to the design committee first, and then it comes here so you can review those recommendations. So if you'd like to review those recommendations as part of this, then you can have it come back to you.
In my opinion, what they have right here, as long as it's not too far off of what they've got, it fits what's downtown. I don't see any problem with it. But
could they have been handled by an administrative review?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The building placement, existing development, and footprints of the building are remain unchanged. Building height, the two-story buildings are proposed. In that downtown district, it's 35-foot height.
So we're well under that. Building mass, on that article, it's about the gateway or corner lots, which this is not, it's mid-block.
Yeah, it also matches the heights of the building around it.
For facade design, there's some requirements there. Existing, the first four facades are going to remain basically the same. The second stories are going to change, they have that more of a flat roof appearance with the parapet and the horizontal siding. And windows, which are still being determined exactly what they'll be. Glazing, the proposed meets the glazing requirements for the district. Building materials, again, specific materials have not been identified yet. Exterior colors, those have not been identified yet. I'm assuming it's going to be white, is that a good assumption, or?
You know, to be honest, I don't think it's been determined or discussed yet.
Okay, to be determined. Side rear, those facades are shown. So basically this building is visible from all sides, so it does look, they do appear that that siding facade on there with windows. Building entrances, there's two existing entrances on the public street. I'm assuming those are going to remain.
There's actually three entrances off of Water Street.
Oh, this back in the lower.
Yeah, another lot of closures up there.
Flat roof is proposed. No lighting is shown on the proposed. Is there any exterior lighting anticipated?
I don't know. We wanted to get these out to you guys. I'm sure there will be lighting, but I don't know what it will consist of. But it will remain historic to the,
okay,
the building.
There are some standards of downward type lighting and that kind of thing. Canopies and awnings, there are canopies on the building now. Those will remain, or?
Those are scheduled to remain.
No signage details have been provided. I'm assuming if a retailer comes in, you'll have signage or whoever. Yeah. So the standards for that. No mechanical is shown on the plan. Is there any idea where that mechanical will be placed?
I don't. The furnaces are all inside, and then I guess that the air conditioning units would be, a hidden feature in the buildings that we can stand out.
On the roof or in the attic or something. Okay.
Yeah. I don't have a precise answer for you. Just,
okay,
do the try and get the series of the project moving.
The parking and loading. So this is where the Planning Commission has that ability. So it will probably be the best course to make a formal motion and determination on that request.
Okay.
In regards to this particular standard.
Okay. So at this point, let's talk about the parking then. I'm absolutely for waiving parking on this project. I don't see any problem with that.
Can I make a motion right now?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to waive that.
Okay. And I think you should be specific in how many spaces you're waiving.
Okay.
So you were waiving two spaces for the both residential.
Now, it's only two spaces, or is it two spaces per?
Just, there are one-bedroom units that require one space per each.
So I would make a motion to waive the two spaces that are necessary for this.
Okay. For this project, I have a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Let me find my... Here we go. Bauman.
Aye.
Shute.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblo.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Nemecheck?
Aye.
Place?
Aye. The service access, currently Water Street is used as the service access to this site. Landscaping, there is some existing lawn area and minimal landscaping on the site. I'm assuming that's to be maintained.
It will. We're looking with the tenant to the east, the busters, to try to figure out that the row of trees so we can get the construction going.
Okay. Sorry, can I? Yeah, so the wall along the river. What the condition of that, and is there any speculation on whether that will have to be redone at all?
My understanding is, as far as the retaining wall for the river, it's perfectly sound.
Okay. I haven't been back there in a while, so I was just curious.
We will definitely keep that in consideration as we continue to move forward with the project to ensure that it remains stable.
Screening, this property does not front residential districts, so it's not applicable. Courtyard, there is a small courtyard in front of the building that will be remain. And utilities are all currently underground, and closed buildings, all activities will be conducted in the building.
Question, what is going to happen with the 8 feet of property that is part of the other parking lot?
For now, it will remain. That has yet to be determined. I know, we've spoken with Michelle and that he's and if they're able to remain, for now, we have no anticipations of pushing the building out to take up that 8 feet.
So with that, that's the Central Business District checklist. I would recommend some kind of a motion to adopt it, adopt the findings as the standards being met, or met with the condition that it returned to the Planning Commission or return to staff after review by the Design Committee.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact on the CBD development requirements, and that the applicant will report back to city staff to finalize the details that are currently not shown.
Tom?
Yes.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
One of the things I think we should change within this, though, is the there are three entrances from Main Street, and then also calling out specifically that that we looked at for the development plan, facade detail, glazing, building material, colors, lighting, mechanical, and landscaping, that all those points get hit specifically, not just the whole plan as is, that gets reviewed by the city.
No,
my staff.
Is that a friendly amendment?
That is a friendly amendment.
I accept your challenge, and those are good amendments. Can I just adapt what you said? You took notes, obviously.
Yeah, I did.
So add that. Can you add that back to the amendment, please?
Okay. Thank you. So I have a motion.
I'll support.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Can I just ask a process question?
Yes.
Let's say you haven't found any tenants yet, for sure, probably.
No, until the project is complete.
So what if somebody comes along and says, I want the whole building, or I want two of the three spots? That doesn't hold up our process. I would assume that's a staff. The staff could approve that. You could approve that. As
long as it's the same use.
If
it's retail for retail, then yeah, that's
right.
Okay. If there's a substantive change in the use, then it would have to.
Right.
So if they're saying we're going to put a restaurant in there now as opposed to a retail.
But
But how it's configured on the inside really doesn't matter, as long as the use doesn't change and the exterior meets with the guidelines.
So if they did find a restaurant, would that be something that would have to come back to us?
Yeah, it's a similar change in those requirements, like adding those residential use, you would be changing that.
More parking requirements.
So we have to come back for
okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Bauman?
Aye.
Shoup?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Moblo?
Aye.
Okay. All right, Scott. So the second set is the specific to the development plan standards. So on there we have 19.4. General, the site previously developed, it's in the central business district. They're looking to add those two additions as previously described. So the uses are in conformance with ordinance standards. Building design.
Hey Scott, can I ask just a real simple
question?
Are the requirements for the CBD that much different from the standard requirements?
The central business district requirements are a little more detailed.
Okay.
The site development plan review are more general.
Sure.
So the really only standard here that there was a question about was the parking.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we've already answered the question about after design review by the Main Street Committee, where it goes from there. So
okay.
If you're satisfied with these, and as opposed to going through them individually,
mm-hmm.
you can make a motion to adopt them as proposed, or we can go through those in specific detail.
Okay. Does anyone have any question about any specific one of the board requirements for the findings of fact in general building development plan review standards for this project? And the motion to be on parking applies to this as well?
Yes.
Thank you.
Moblo?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Nemechek?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Bauman?
Aye.
Shoup?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. When you get your design done, let me know, and we'll get you on the agenda for that design.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, let's move on to the New proposed zoning ordinance amendment for the private road standards section. Scott?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you may recall from our discussion last month in regards to the Bay Ridge proposal, given the planning commission could not in any way accommodate the request that it was being made, a suggestion of looking at the ordinance and perhaps reducing the required pavement width, perhaps in some kind of manner that goes from perhaps a few to a little more than the standard. So that's kind of what I did. I took the existing section 2495 private road standards, and in there, you'll look at item B, which is specific to the planning commission's ability to allow a private road. And in there was a finding that there had to be some kind of hardship necessary due to the topography or features, physical features of the property. What I was hearing from the planning commission, it wasn't really a subject that hardship was necessary, but the hardship was the road itself. And developing it to that width was usually, you know, not viable to make the project economically viable. So I eliminated that provision and I put in a private road to be constructed to the standards, and in there, private roads 36 or less residential lots shall meet all the Boyne City municipal standards, with the exception that the minimum pavement width may be reduced to 16 feet. And then item two, a private road serving or to serve 7 to 12 residential lots shall meet all the City of Boyne City municipal standards, with the exception that the minimum pavement width may be reduced to 18 feet. And then all private roads servicing more than 12 residential lots or a commercial lots, any number of those, would meet the standards as outlined in the City of Boise municipal standards. So basically, we're allowing a little less pavement for 12 and less lots, with 18 feet per 7 to 12 and 16 feet for 106, 600. Those roads would still have to be built to municipal standards, and this detail is from the city's municipal standards showing, you know, the pavement width, the sub-base and shoulder width and all those things. So even if the road pavement is narrow, it's still going to have to meet all those underlying requirements in regards to how that road is constructed. One additional thought that I had is there's no specific detail for a cul-de-sac or a turnaround at the end of dead-end streets. And the way it's been working in the past is applicants that did want to do that, those plans would be reviewed by the various departments, EMS, fire department, police, to make sure they had adequate maneuvering room to turn around. I'd feel a little more comfortable if there's a standard detail adopted with this, just to kind of give an understanding of what, if someone looks at the ordinance, they know what they're going to have to do, as opposed to some kind of question, you know, that has to be answered after they make application by various departments. So that's my thoughts. So this is being brought to you for discussion, and if you feel this is the way to go, we can move forward with that. If you have other ideas, I'd be happy to incorporate those into this language and then come back.
One thing that I noticed in this is up in the background paragraph, it just states 16. It doesn't give a designation of measurement. I'm sure it's supposed to be feet. Up in the background, if you go up, up.
Measurement of 16 on pavement road.
Okay.
That was the first thing I noticed. Secondly, What is the standard road width? Is it 24 based on that diagram that I just seen?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's 12-foot wide lanes.
But in this, there's nothing indicating where you have that turnaround or cul-de-sac or anything of that nature.
Right, so that, like I said, you know, for dead end roads, I feel more comfortable if we had a detail to show that, like give a minimum, you know, diameter, radius, the turnaround, that kind of thing. You know, T-turns and other things are possible, so if you want to show other possibilities for that, I'd be happy to agree with that.
And then where did the numbers for the house or the residential lots come from? Is that something that was just... Is there similar in other areas?
Yeah, I reviewed other ordinances, and that's a kind of a typical breaking point for those. So that's what it...
Do we have any current private roads that are more within the 16-foot width?
Did you say that or more?
Do we have any existing private roads within Wayne City that have a narrower width than the 24-foot standard? I know we do, I just can't think of any right now.
Yeah, where's that? The Marsh?
The Marshall Fields. Yeah, the Pearl Street is also one that's very narrow.
Is that Little Street?
It just seems narrow.
Earl's was a public street.
Yeah, I
know. What about Lacey Lane? Is that Lacey Lane?
You're building on it. I don't know how you noticed it.
It's terrible.
It does seem narrow.
Going
more than... I know Lacey Lane.
Lacey Lane?
Yeah, Lacey Lane. Is that the...
Are you talking about Leroy?
No. It's the one that's... So what's north of the trailer park?
J.C. Lane?
South of North Park Road, Lyle Lane, L-Y-L-E Lane. This one right here. So you got Court Street, Park.
That's a driveway.
That's a driveway.
That happens. I mean, people name basically your driveway. And that's what Bay Ridge is.
It's basically the block.
Yeah, it's not a road. It's never been approved as a road.
Is your driveway name?
No, but I should.
Yeah. So Scott, to clarify, if the developer built a 16-foot road right of way to these standards because of less lots, would it be then fall under city jurisdiction? So the city would have to maintain it?
No. It'd be a private road
or private property. What they would have to do is build it within the private road standards. So there's that minimum 50-foot right-of-way width that would have to be dedicated. And then, you know, if there's relief on the pavement, you know, that whatever lot number lots they come up with, you know, that could be given. But they're still going to have an engineered plan. You know, meeting those minimum standards for the construction of the road. And, you know, the minimum standard also, you know, stormwater and soil erosion and all those other criteria. So, but it would still be a private road and their responsibility to maintain.
So the only way for a smaller road to become city responsibility is to maintain the 24-foot, 66-foot?
If someone wanted to build a public road, they're going to have to build it with public standards.
Okay. But I thought by changing the ordinance that in turn changes the qualifications.
Okay. No, this is the article that we're changing, private road standards. There's nothing in here
about
public road standards.
No, it makes a lot of sense. As long as, I mean, it's more for public safety and things like that, so that way EMS and whatnot can head down in a 16-footer on a very low travel area. And
this would not allow people to build a private road in public right-of-ways. So, you know, we have a number of those where we have, you know, platted public streets that are undeveloped that haven't been developed because you know, people can't afford to build that road. But they would not have the ability to build a private road in that public way. That would have to be, you know, vacated and assumed the property.
subgrade, et cetera, et cetera. This addresses primarily the pavement width. With the overall subgrade, MNAT 22A, et cetera, et cetera, and the 2 foot, would that overall, is it 28 feet, be required to be MDOT 22A?
No, no.
Et cetera, or only under the road and only a 2 foot shoulder or a 16 foot?
Right, that would be my understanding, if you want to clarify that, you know, right. The road bed and everything else would be shrunk down accordingly for that pavement.
All right, then the next question is a typical trailer or, you know, say, dump truck or whatever. What is the width of one of those things? Is it, typical trailer hauling supplies?
Well, if they're going down a 12-foot side of a road.
No, I'm saying in an 8-foot lane. 8-foot lane passing a trailer park. Or a trailer traveling down the road. Because I know even driving down Lincoln Street can be playing chicken at times. So, what?
Well, I think the thought is here that it would be, tighter, but the traffic volumes are going to be so low that you'd have plenty of opportunity to maneuver around.
No, I'm just asking a question about typical trailer width. What is a typical trailer width? Is it 8 feet? Is it 6 feet?
Probably 8 feet is a big, I would my guess. But
anything over 8, you gotta have advertised oversized.
Okay. All right. So this does accommodate typical trailer by rights and a personal vehicle. Okay.
Yeah.
I have two questions. If you were done.
No, go ahead.
So even though they're looking at shrinking the overall road width, would the easement have to be the same?
Yeah, there was no direction from the commission to reduce that.
Okay. And then coming off of that one, because there's stipulations in regards to residential lot numbers for the road width, in this particular case, the lot sizes are quite large. If they were to increase those lots later on down the road, would they have to then increase the size of the road?
Good question. Yeah. That road would be tied to the number of lots it serves. So if you increase the lots over the number that road meets, you're going to have to upgrade the road.
And is that based on how it's written there, or should we have some sort of specific provision?
No, I mean, that's what the ordinance stipulates, so,
I really like how you did this, Scott. I would like to see something for turnaround, minimum width allowed, or turning radius. I'm not sure exactly the best way to term that.
Yeah.
I like this, but I think that needs to be brought in just to make it more specific.
Okay.
But otherwise, the widths, I think, especially you looked at the other ordinances over in the area and stuff like that, and it makes sense. I don't see this as a problem. I think it's a good idea. It'll give us a little bit more flexibility with new projects, especially with what we're trying to do with more housing.
Well, yeah, I think one of the charges was to eliminate barriers, and right. It seems like road construction cost is somewhat of a barrier, so addressing that seems right down that alley.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open this up to public input. Anyone have any questions or anything you'd like to, yes?
I guess more than anything, I'd just like to say thank you.
Please stand up, say your name, address. I'm sorry, I've got to get everyone's
right. Jay Woodall, 3160 Jakeway Road, serving Kyle Bryan for these clients that are purchasing and splitting a lot. Just want to say thank you for your openness to kind of review this, Scott. This sounds like a great move, and it's going to open up things and go along with some goals for the city. So I think the purchaser's going to be really happy.
Okay.
Sounds quick, though.
It's a process.
Understood. Is there any other input, any other questions? I'll close public input.
I guess one other question, what would the timeline be?
Well, in a perfect world, if it came back from the Planning Commission for public hearing next month, then it could go to the City Commission at their next available agenda, so that would be February, so we're looking at March for the first reading. Then it can't go back for second reading no less than 30 days, so we're looking at April, probably late April, for possible adoption, then it takes 15 days after publication to become effective, so you're looking at May at the very earliest.
Okay. It's about the time when restrictions go off.
Yeah.
Does anyone on the board have any questions?
So next month we would have a little more detail about the turnaround.
It's my plan to address those corrections that were noted, and also have details for a cul-de-sac or turnaround to also be added as detail to that section so
we could combine that with first reading?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
As long as you're happy with it when you see it.
All right. Any other questions?
Right. And that wouldn't be the first reading, that'd be public hearing.
Public hearing, okay. Yeah.
Can we open this discussion for us right now? I'm concerned about the water runoff. Are they going to hook up to storm water?
Well, that's part of the design review. This does not eliminate any other standards, and the city has a storm water ordinance, and those all have to be met. The storm design and all that is going to be part of that review. So you just can't put down 60 feet of pavement and say you're good. It's going to be an engineered plan that has to meet all the ordinance requirements.
Anything else? Okay. So Scott, you kind of know what you need to do for next month?
I will schedule a public hearing and bring this language back to you for that.
Okay. All right, let's move along to new business C, public engagement discussion.
This was on the agenda last month, and the commission indicated that they wish to move that along, because I know Nicole was not able to attend and was very interested in this particular topic, so as we brought that and for review and discussion. Right now, I know the city manager is exploring ways to broadcast meetings, to help facilitate that public engagement aspect. So I'm not sure what other avenues that the customers are taking up, but I'd be happy to listen and see what we can do.
Okay. Well, when I did my RRC training with Pablo, public engagement was talked about quite heavily, and given Boyne City's uproar in regards to the marina expansion and how there's a feeling of lack of transparency and inclusion, even though this project has been on the table for decades, I felt that maybe this was something that we could revisit for room of improvement, because things can always be improved. So in discussing with Pablo outside of class time, he informed me that all RRC cities have to have a public participation plan, which I was kind of disappointed to not see included in this public engagement component, just because it's quite a large packet, and it has some really great stuff in it. I'm not sure when it was developed or by whom. It's not indicated in here. I'm guessing roughly 2015.
I believe that was developed by Andy Duell in 2013.
Okay.
First started the certification process.
Okay.
A component that we need.
Yep, and to be certified.
Right.
Yes. So in this, it talks about a couple of different things that I feel, it talks about we want to engage citizens from the beginning, that it's a dynamic endeavor, continually changing with each unique situation. Talks about a wide range of how to do that, everything from newspapers to news stations, radio stations, which only included an AM station, which I thought was kind of interesting that no FM stations were involved in that. Obviously, social media has, you know, ballooned exponentially since 2013. So that is a huge component that I feel that we should be utilizing across the board. Even those that don't have it, it's minor. I mean, my 98 great aunt is getting on Facebook. So, you know, I feel like if we can't force people to come and provide voice. But I know that Skylar and I are probably one of the younger ones here. I didn't invest all that much in government in high school, and I can't even imagine how much you've lost many decades after where Skylar and I are if you haven't made a point to be involved. They don't know where to go get the information. Our website is overdue. We've talked about that before for a cleanup. I couldn't find this on there. You know, and yes, we have ways to get to the agenda minutes, but sometimes people have no idea. You know, they really don't, and they don't know who to ask. They're lost. And I think if we can be more proactive to get some of this stuff out there, sharing, you know, on the Facebook page or putting out those public meetings that are needing more input, you know, especially really trying hard to engage those that are going to be heavily impacted, you know, because we just did the modular mobile home. There's still people commenting how they had no idea, like neighbors. Like, you know what I mean? So I just, for me, I'm like, how can we do better? Because that's our job, right? We're supposed to be engaging the public and doing this for community. We can only be a voice if we have contact. So when we have these projects, like, would it be reasonable for us to reach out to those directly affected? You know, that, hey, this is what you need to be involved in, instead of those that are just knowing the channels to go through, you know, via the newspaper, via mailers, not just putting up signs. We have technology for QR codes now. Like, that's so much better than trying to fill out a survey. You have QR codes. Most everybody has a smartphone, you know. So I think that if this was done by the Planning Commission, maybe we should revisit it. Because it says right here in closing, a community's public participation plan is not another document to be created and shelved, but a daily guide for how to best incorporate the public into decisions that affect your space. And it says in here it's supposed to be reviewed annually. But it doesn't state by who. So I have lots of questions, and I just, like, literally, I'm going, who? Who's doing this? Who's responsible? You know, it says in here that...
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm still fairly new, and I want to be a part of getting involvement. Again, we can't bring people here, but if they don't even know how to get here, mm-hmm. or that it's even happening, and, you know, navigating the website or navigating Facebook, if they hear it on the radio on their morning commute, like, oh yeah, that's right, it's today. You know what I mean? Like, these different ways to involve people. I think it would be great, and I can pass this around if anyone
That is on the
It's not on the website. I found this because Pablo is our RRC advisor, and so when I was asking all these questions, he got this to me because Boyne City had to create this to be certified. So, I mean, if anyone wants to. Really?
Could you send it to all of us?
I can send it to you, yeah.
I'm going to make sure it's on the website. That's no problem.
Yeah.
Get it updated onto the website. Yeah.
But, I mean, it has some great things in here. It also talks about how you can contact the city and ask to be put on the mailer to get the agenda emailed to you right away. Sorry, Pat.
I have several people that I email. So.
Yeah, but, I mean, just mm-hmm. getting that kind of information mm-hmm. out there, and I think just being proactive instead of just doing the bare minimum. You know, when we looked at different things, you know, like, was it last summer or the summer before when we were looking at the bike pathway? And there was all the input of the homeowners. Well, not just the workshops. We actually, it was already like looking at where it was going to go at that point, and we had some feedback from some summer residents and whatnot. But I'm sure that there were people who had no clue that lived there all the time, or maybe not even. You know, like, hey, this is what's coming, you know, and like me directly reaching out to those that have that greatest impact instead of just, it's on the website, look it up.
Is there a requirement to direct mail residents within a certain...
For a public hearing, yeah, there is.
To direct mail or to just post signs?
Yeah.
No. I thought it was posting signs.
For a public hearing, there's a requirement that the 300-foot don't be set up.
And that is something that's always done when they're public hearing. It's happened, it happened with Foxconn. And the one thing about those are state requirements. And you want to be careful when you adjust those, if you do. Because you get into a situation where you can become arbitrary. Let's say this, you think it's going to be a very popular thing, and so you say, let's send out the 500 feet. And something else says, well, that's not a big deal. Let's do the normal 300 feet. You're treating people differently.
Gotcha.
So you can't really do that and defend it. So my philosophy for public hearings is always do what the state requires and you'll never be wrong. To your next point about like the bike trail or other projects, other public projects, I think that's an opportunity where direct notice can be made for affected properties, and the city does that all the time. For the bike trail, they did that. I created a mailing list for Tim Foss to set up.
I can contest that that's not the case, because my property would be affected by one of the park expansions, and I was not notified. I had to do my due diligence. So that's not always the case.
Well, in that case, I'm sorry it didn't happen, but there was public meetings.
Yes, and I did attend all of those.
That we did. So, you know, better notice than that.
But yes, yes. But yes, and that's what I'd like to see, you know. And I know that we were doing all the city commission stuff on Facebook, which is great. But why aren't we engaging all the commissions? At least the bigger ones, like where we are, because we are before the
city commission. I think we began to do that. Jim posted
it. Yeah, I forgot a couple months ago, I forgot. But like, for all the planning commission meetings I've done.
And then I think Parks and Rec and other commissions.
I haven't done that,
but that's a good idea. I should probably do it.
Yeah,
you know,
that is one that affects, you know, usually not neighbors, but everybody.
Let me open up this up to the public comment. Do you have any?
Yeah.
You're almost obligated.
Yeah, but it's okay.
I just wanted to. I mean, I really want. I mean, we don't get very many people, and I really want this to be full.
About the screen?
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about. Actually, like engagement.
Yeah.
My name's Mark Gale. I'm the son of a Boeing. This is more entertaining than the news, so. Actually, I thought that tonight might have a few more attendees because of something that was said at the city commission meeting about this parking issue, which I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, that's an awesome. That they're doing, that they put money out as a small token. So, yeah, I know you did put the announcement on Facebook for tonight, which is nice. You know, they're there on the commission. You're not on the calendar. I don't know if you noticed that. This meeting was not on the calendar.
Okay.
I had to go to the agenda to look and see, make sure it was sent. I thought it was canceled.
Yeah, it might have timed out because when we set up the schedule.
The other question I have on minutes is how do the minutes get online? Is there a time? Because it seemed like Parks and Rec, I'll pick on them because we're hoping to get it. Like the last meeting, I couldn't go because I was working, and it was almost 30 days before those minutes were posted. And, you know, if you want to kind of keep up on things and that information isn't there, you know, is it just somebody has to write the minutes up and put them on? Or they have to be approved somehow first?
Now, was it the minutes or was it the agenda?
The minutes.
The minutes have to be approved by the next meeting. Like, we approved the minutes from our last meeting, and then they're posted.
Right, but
the minutes are out for the last
I think to answer his question, that would be my job as the recording secretary. And within 7 business days, the minutes for the meeting are supposed to be posted.
Once they're approved or once?
Nope. The minutes from tonight would be in a draft form.
Yeah, they're labeled
and they're labeled draft, and they have to be up on the website within 7 days.
Doesn't that happen for all the committees?
It's supposed to happen. There might have been, I know with COVID going on, You know, the recording secretary for the Park and Rec might have been out or something, but typically they are all up within 7 days draft, and then once they get approved, I take the draft minutes down and put the approved minutes up.
That's a good rule.
That's all I have.
No, I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. All right.
I'd like to know your thoughts about broadcasting. First of all, and I just sent an email to the city manager and the mayor actually today about this, but you know, I'm the social media guy, and then after a while, because Tim was doing it when he was a candidate, people liked that, and so I was told I should start doing it, because once Tim became on the commission, he couldn't really film the meeting, so I started doing it. And the first two or three times, I had a horrible time doing it. If anybody tried to watch the city commission meetings, they were sideways. One meeting, which was 6 hours long or 7 hours long, it started out with a two-hour session in that other room there with the auditors that virtually nobody watched. And then it followed by a four-hour controversial meeting with lots, not very controversial, but there was a big agenda. And I brought extension cord from home so I could have my camera plugged in so it wouldn't lose power. The extension cord didn't work, so I just had all these problems. But finally, this last meeting, January, a week ago, I think it turned out pretty well. And Mike Kane gave me some input that he had heard from department heads and other people, like, don't whirl the camera around and show the guy in the back asking a question. It's too distracting. And so, and he provided me with a tripod, because I was, for the first few meetings, I was just holding it in my hands, and that was jittery. And then people could hear me breathing because it was like this close to me. So, you know, we fixed a lot of things. And I think the last meeting, if you look at it on Facebook, it came out pretty well. I was happy with it. There were still complaints from the public that you couldn't hear the commissioners very well. Although I found if you watch it on a desktop and turn up the volume, I could hear virtually everything. So I started looking into it a little bit. And I do a chamber newsletter for Harbor Springs, so I called the people up there. And they got Sunrise Electronics, Jeff's company, to help them out. And they hung microphones in the back of the room so the audience questions could be heard better. And I don't know if they have microphones in front of the room too, or they just...
We
do have a sound system.
The city commission has them in front of them, but... But the city commissioners, which Tom pointed out at the last meeting, he said, you guys really need, we all need to start speaking into the microphone better so people can hear. And I took a picture, and most people's microphones are this far apart. Now, Tim, he's the only one that speaks into the microphone and has it nice and close to him. So, but I think if the mayor would just say that at the beginning of the meeting, maybe we put a sign in front of my tripod, that would come out with an acceptable solution. And I'm there already, so it's not costing the city anything extra.
The only other question I have is that from the public comment, is that we've in the past had bigger groups, we have a podium pulled out. Is that used as well?
If there is, like Pat Little came and gave a presentation about the school district, and he used the podium, and he spoke into the microphone, and it was very easy to hear. Now, I've lived in cities in California where anybody making a public, asking a question or a public comment has to go to the podium, but
We did that for some larger meetings with a lot of people, and I really liked it, especially for meetings where we have a lot of public, because then you get a cue, and people really have to commit to having something to say that's different. That's something I really want people to know, is that we don't need the same question every time, and we will answer it. The whole point is to get questions in, and then we give as many answers as we can out, not a back and forth, which is something that we just have to teach people.
Well, that would certainly help the whole hearing situation. But the other thing is that Harbor Springs does is I think they got, I know, they got a camera mounted either from the ceiling or on the back wall, high up enough. But during all their meetings, they don't show, if you're looking at the screen, it just shows the agendas, and the agenda scrolls through as you get to those certain items, so the public can see more detail about what's on the agenda. And then there's a little tiny rectangle in the top right that has the city commission picture, and you can't see anything there. I don't really like that. I kind of like the idea that you can pan over and hear Tom talk, or hear Tim talk, or hear the city manager talk. I didn't like that very well, but it is a way that you can do it with nobody. You don't have to pay somebody to sit in the front row and do the thing. So that would make it fairly easy to do all the city boards and commissions and do a live presentation of all of their meetings. You wouldn't have really good close-up camera work, but it would be a way that they would all be done live, and then you can go back and watch them later. And so I just wondered your thoughts about that kind of solution.
If I may add a little history, the previous city commission knew that this was an issue, and in fact, engage our community is one of our goals. COVID hit, so on and so forth. Now we have a new seated city commission. I think I would, obviously Tim is for it. We need to continue to engage our community and we need to have a better Facebook presence. We need to have a better webpage presence, and we need to have a better filming presence. I think the old commission and the new commission are in agreement. We just haven't done a very good job. It's still a goal. We're still trying to find the answers. I think Jim, when we hired him, has increased our visibility tenfold. And I think Jordan Peck is doing a really nice presence with Main Street. He's every day posting something. So right there, we've made some improvements. But I agree with you, we need, Nicole, we got a long way to go.
Well, and I think, you know, this document provides the foundation. It truly does. That was its purpose. If I'm wrong, please stop me. But it seems like this was the purpose of starting that engagement. It gives a baseline. It gives a direction. In here, there's a lot of questions on it. It says, you know, like, it will be done, but it doesn't really designate who. You know, like, the city will follow a systematic plan for public engagement and development process of city policy. Well, what exactly is that systematic plan? You know, it's not like really spelled out. You know, it says different things about, you know, who's going to do what. You know, it just, you know, like in the end, it goes, the plan will be formally reviewed on an annual basis. And then it doesn't specify who's responsible. Does that make sense? So I definitely feel like revisiting this, which probably might be as part of our RRC revamping, maybe.
Revisiting.
Don't we have to be reviewed every so many years for
RRC? We're certified for another 3 years.
Yeah. So I don't know if this has to be relooked at or should be relooked at.
Yeah, we can look at it. No, that's, you know.
I personally feel the Chamber newsletter is a really wonderful way to get news out, because we no longer have a newspaper. And would it be possible, it comes out every week, to list the commissions and meetings that are going to be going on in the city that week. And with just a caveat that says, for more information, go to Boyne City website and list it. So that if somebody really wants to be engaged, they have notice that this week at 5 o'clock or 5:30, this commission is meeting.
Yeah.
And
I think that's great. That's hitting another point.
I think that's a great idea. There could even be a hyperlink.
Right. Yes, right. Agree.
To
exactly.
The actual agenda.
Okay. Yeah.
Tim, yeah. I agree with everything that was said. That was a goal of mine personally. That's why I started broadcasting the meetings to begin with. And to showcase, I knew about that as well with RRC. But in reality, it showcases your leadership and trying to find ways. The newsletters, so I talked to Ken Aiken today. the chamber, and she says that they have 3,000 members that they send that e-newsletter out to every single time. And there's a dedicated section in that specifically for the city to utilize, and that section is the like municipality section. So that section on that newsletter from the chamber, we can do exactly what you just said.
The only thing is with and that requires to click on city news. I'm talking about in the body of the message.
Right.
Just to have a little tag that says upcoming city meetings this week.
Right.
And if you're interested, click and it'll take you to the agenda and that kind of thing. Nothing big, because there's a lot of people that complain, but those people also don't get involved. They just like to complain.
And that was that's my point, is I don't know what Kim and Lisa will allow as far as newsletter go, because I know they do that in-house now. But in reality, the newsletter's gonna work for one-third of the city. Facebook's gonna work for one-third of the city. A newspaper might work for one-third of the city, or an AM radio station. You can't just say, hey, we're doing radio station, we're good, we're covering the Ducks. That's poor leadership, in my opinion. So trying to find ways in every single different aspect is, the whole goal is to try and educate and bring knowledge to the process here. There's a lot of people out there that don't have the knowledge of what takes place or how things happen, and they're listening to or they're witnessing decisions being made, but they don't know the 30 different conversations that took place prior to that decision being made. And so trying to do this is going to allow the leadership of the community to be that much more impactful, and it's going to allow the community to get more involved because they're beginning to learn the process of decisions being made, but not being made that day with a financial transaction happening like the conspiracy theory is on social media right now. It's a conversation that happens for months and months and months, 30 different times before that decision is being made. So the more that we can engage the community and we spread that, the more it allows us to be better leaders and allows the community to get more involved. So I think that's a great plan.
What's the, when we did Zoom meetings and things like that, eventually it came down to if anyone does it remote now, they have no voting rights or anything like that. How does participation within the public outside of here work? Do they get to add their comment or question to something that's being told from somewhere else, their input that way, or is it literally just they can see the meeting?
There is no mechanism to participate remotely.
Well, I know that's very expensive to set up. Like,
well, it's not even...
It's not legally allowed.
It's not allowed by state law now.
Okay.
So that's not a possibility.
Okay.
So the way people can engage is either come to the meeting or they can write comments, submit those comments to whatever department, and they can get in front of the commission. So that's the typical way to do it. Until there's some change in law, I don't see any other ways that people can participate.
I knew that in the past, it's really hard with COVID, but in the past we've done board meetings where we did all the different boards together, and it was just more of a, hey, let's talk about what all of us do, and have community involvement there, almost like an open house kind of deal. But that's something, what's a way of doing that without having people come into the building?
I don't know.
Exactly. No, I'm just voicing it out, just saying that type of energy, that type of thing is what would be very educational.
Yeah, those were great meetings. But in truth, we'd have 50% attendance.
If that.
So there's no easy answer. But I'm willing to try everything.
Yeah.
These are good suggestions.
Yeah. So
I've got one question, though. You know, going through this timeline, 2013, newspaper and radio, okay, that's really old technology. Okay. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm a baby boomer, but I was way ahead of that even in 2013. 2022, Facebook seems to be the flavor of the month or flavor of the year. Social media sites are changing, are they not? I'm not a part of the the social media scene. Instagram is taking over. TikTok is not a big thing. I'm not in any of it, trust me. Would Facebook all of a sudden be supplanted by something else? And how many social media sites do you need to be on, or is Facebook the only one?
Right. You also do have to look at the age of the population within Boyne City. They're actually closer to you than they are to me. So the question needs to be, how do we get to you, Larry?
Yeah.
And what would help you get you here? Obviously, we got you here.
Right, right. I mean, the Chamber newsletter. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, to me, that's...
The email.
To me, because I read that religiously every week when it comes out. Some articles I want to read, some I don't. But I think it would create that idea that we are transparent. We want people to know that we're having meetings. If they want to get involved, all they have to do is click and they can see the agenda. And if they want to participate, they know when the meeting is and they know how to get here.
I will say about that newsletter, though, it would be easy for somebody to only see a clipped version and then click to go on to
that's their problem.
Email version, and that's their own problem.
I'm on Facebook, but I scroll through and don't read half the stuff there because it's garbage. You know, if I see somebody's a post that I want to read, I'll read it. But there's so much garbage on Facebook nowadays that... you just thumb through it, just like you would thumb through that newsletter.
Right.
So is this something that the city commission could appoint a subcommittee or about working on public engagement? Is it to that point where that is something that would be very helpful to have a group work on this specific problem? Or is it something that the planning commission needs to step in and take ownership of?
Well, yes. I would say that, so I'm just speaking as a city commissioner now.
Yeah.
It is something that the city commission needs to go over and review. I will say that there's conversations that have been happening behind the door, and a lot of it's depending on what solutions are going to be given to us or options with the broadcasting, because that's a big part of it. And then I would say each commission take it upon themselves. I don't feel the city commission should set a standard for every other commission. In reality, I think the city commission should focus on what their engagement level should be and how they would like to engage. But the way I envision is if the planning commission wanted to set three goal points, hey, in the next year, these are three goal points that we want to do, or something we would like to see different to help engage the public. But I think it would be difficult to create a subcommittee to go over everything.
Okay, I was just being able to, if you have a directed force handling it and then have it be a recommending body for a city commission, a planning commission, Parks and Rec, then it could give help to all three rather than having everyone kind of fend for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the city commission's doing their own. Their direction right now is going to trickle down
right
to all the various other commissions and committees. And each commission committee, has its own requirement for how they engage. Planning commission has some very specific laws they have to follow. Yes. Some of our being appeals does. Parks and Recs, not so much, so they can be a little more creative. How they do things. So I think each board commission needs to kind of develop their own strategy on how to do that.
And I see this material right here being a good key focal point in reality, because like you said, there's state statutes and what the planning commission has to do as far as public engagement. The same thing with the zoning and appeals board. And that's what I mean, where it shouldn't be a blanket, it should be specialized to each group, but it should be laid out as to what our focus and what our intent should be in with engaging each, public body with that commission.
And you said this was something that was done by whom?
Andy Doyle was the assistant planner at the time.
Okay, so it went through the planning department anyways.
Yeah.
So who would revisit to revamp this, and would it be you?
Bring it back to the planning.
I think that would be a wonderful
option. Okay.
when we, a few years ago, undertook writing the goals. That was a very in-depth process. It was a fantastic process. We had over 500 people participate online. And we created some great goals. But that's, what year is it? You know, then COVID hit. We need to do that again as a city commission and get people's input. And we do have a new set of goals. A lot of these we met. Some we have failed. And we need to keep them on the board if that's what the community wants. So we got our work cut out for us, but it's a time-consuming process with lots of help from lots of people. And we did, we had public meetings. We had public input. We had, Shred. And we had groups, and we had them here in the pavilion. We did the same thing, very similar to when we do a master plan for the different parks. It's, you get people involved, and this is what our city should look like, and this is how we can get there. So, you know, the gauntlet has been put down. It's just, there's not enough hours in the day. But we're getting there. I mean, I think the city commission realizes the same thing that we realize, that there's work to be done. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, past tradition has been every time there's a new city commission, there's a city-wide planning
goal-setting
session. Is that going to happen this year, or is COVID?
I haven't heard any talk about that. I think COVID kind of set things sideways a little bit. So.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to do that again. Yes, that's, you know, kind of a, that's, and it was, and it's, as Tom said, it was combined with a survey that anyone could fill out. And there were, I think there were even some, you know, if you didn't have the internet, you could come to City Hall or the library and fill one out on paper or something too. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think that's a decent goal for the Planning Commission if we came up with some recommendations.
I think the first step is to go back to that document, review that, and then you know, suggest any changes in the areas to work on.
So I think I'll have some homework to do. Get that printed out, read it, and bring back some suggestions then.
I mean, I could certainly put all the different commission meet agendas on Facebook every time it happens. I just wasn't sure how much interest there was in it, but let's throw it out there and see what happens.
It's about interest. I think it just needs to be done.
Yeah.
It's just for transparency.
I could also send it to the chamber. They'll print anything you send them. I mean, they're, you know, that most of what they run is stuff that people send them. And Kim has printed things for me, like Team Boyne. I occasionally will send her, if we have an interesting speaker for Team Boyne, I send it to her and she puts it in. So.
But it should be done just that week's meetings, not a whole monthly calendar.
Right.
Because people will see the monthly calendar and then forget about the one that's 2 weeks out. But on a weekly basis, I think that creates the most transparency for any of the boards or commissions. We posted what we're talking about. We had notified you when the meeting is. If you want to come and give input, you're welcome.
And some people might be bored and just show up because there's nothing better on TV.
It's always good to get involved in the community.
All right, so Scott, can you get this on for the next month's agenda? So
we can help.
Thank you. And then before the next month's agenda gets sent out to us, can you email us all?
I will send you my document.
Fantastic.
Perfect.
Right. Quick question, Nicole. RSV, something. Acronym, what is that, what you're saying?
RRC.
RRC.
Rural Ready Communities. That was a training that you and I did when we first got up.
Okay.
Redevelopment Ready.
Redevelopment, okay.
Sorry.
Was that the speed that we correct acronym thing?
Okay, let's move on then to the staff report.
Speaking of RRC, as you recall, we were coordinating some specific training with them. That training has been developed by the Michigan Association of Planning.
Okay.
They were not available to get it on a January agenda. Now with this, you know, recent
possibility. If you want to do it in person, it'd probably have to be pushed off, probably until April. Their big training thing is March, and they have all kinds of things scheduled already through that month, so doing anything that month probably won't be possible. I personally get much more out of in-person than remote, so.
But even
the way I would go.
But even if like that was never an option, if we did remote, but if we were here with them remote, I get much more from having everybody together for us to talk.
And it's just not open up to our planning commission. It's going to be a regional.
Got it.
Pretty much everyone's engaged or certified in the program is going to be invited. So I think Charlotte would ask me, you know, some other Traverse City perhaps. You know, welcome to council.
I find that I get a lot out of having the other areas because they do things differently. And sometimes you learn something that you go, hey, why didn't we think of that? Or why don't we do it that way? So I think it's really good to have, first of all, to have it in person. I learn better that way. And secondly, to have the other areas invited so that we might learn something and acquire some knowledge that will help us.
Are we hosting?
Yeah, it's going to be in this building. So, you know, that when we first started the discussion, that was the understanding. Mm-hmm. And this is all going to be free, so our received benefit right there. Okay, I can get back with them. Let them know our preferred is in person, and you know, do it at a time that accommodates that. So it would probably be sometime in April.
Okay. Right. Any else, Scott?
That's all I have for now.
Okay. Let's move on to good of the order. Everybody doing okay? Staying healthy?
I just wanted to touch base on the, I know like today with Martin Luther King, we didn't get our packet. But this would be the third time I haven't gotten my packet, regardless of Martin Luther King Day. So just not sure if there's anything that we can do to maybe try and improve that. Because I don't have internet at home, so then I'm trying to look at the packet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm maybe looking up, but I actually need readers, so.
do we have a set? It has to go out, mailed out by this day.
The goal is to get it out Wednesday afternoon, sometimes based on what the agenda is. It's not possible because there's still information coming in.
Okay.
But okay. You know, that's the goal.
Because I obviously didn't get mine today, and the last 2 months I got it the day of. But I do have access digitally, so that's typically where I do.
It can be personally delivered, and if that's the option we want to go, I can, you know, we can arrange that.
Now,
it's delivered on Friday, you know, I have
personally, I like to have the hard copy for the meeting itself, but leading up to the meeting, I don't open it up until the day of, because I always go through it digitally, because that's how I live a lot of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather not have it hand delivered, but just have it here when I get here, not even mail it to me. I don't think that is a problem. That's my preference, and I'd rather have us have all the same than different.
I mean, my personal preference is to get it at least by Friday, so I've got the weekend to look through it. And my personal preference is I actually go out and walk the site.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. You know, it's like going out to this country now and then. Unless you look in that bag here. You know, oh yeah, you can book parking. No.
The city commission packet used to be delivered by the police department on the Friday before. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. And I would think, time-wise, it's cheaper than mailing. But for the reason that you have in your hand.
Right.
And we all live in town. I don't think it's a burden on the police department because we're all in town.
I don't want to burden the police department. But, you know, hopefully new assistant planner when we get one.
or we can pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind even picking it up if I know it's here.
And if you can't make it office hours, then you know you guys deliver it on Friday afternoon.
Give me a reason to get out and walk.
That has to be expensive to mail.
I don't know if the posting is bad.
It can get pretty expensive depending upon how large
$3
the packet is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just know that the, you know, with COVID and whatnot, that I know the post office is overrun, and that mail times have gone from 2 to 3 days to 3 to 5, so mm-hmm. for standard mailing.
So we have to set up the goal to have be available by Friday afternoon hard copies that can be picked up.
Yep.
And if someone doesn't pick up, we can deliver them if they're, you know, they can't do that.
That would be great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then one more thing is I got in the mail a Michigan Association of Planning.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Training options. If anybody hasn't gotten it, I can pass it around.
No, I haven't. There was a couple of them that were pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And we can just come to you if we want to join those. And
yeah.
Go through the,
okay. As long as we still have a training budget, which I think we still do. So
there's a couple of them that I'd like to talk.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, a couple of them that I've seen this one here more than interested in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, send us an email tag. All right. Ready.
All right. For pickup. Yes, Tim. So at the city commission, we did not complete the conversation that we needed to hammer out, but we came to the conclusion that I would be basically resigning from the planning commission.
Okay.
So this is my legitimate
last one.
So John. Signed authorized.
I do want to say I really appreciate you stepping up and coming in because it was very helpful.
Yeah.
All right, so we will have one spot open, right?
Yeah. So that's part of the conversation. So yeah, it's the city commission is in that at the next meeting, I assume we're gonna continue the conversation of the board and commission appointments. So
as you know, the policy and practice in the past has been to have applicants first come to the board or commission that they're interested in discuss the opening and, you know, have the planning commission get to know them, and then they make recommendations to the city commission. That is all a courtesy. There's nothing in any statute that provides for that. The appointment of the planning commission member is set in the planning enabling law specifically, so there's really no leeway to change that specific. And that says that the chief executive of the city, which is translates as the mayor, appoints with the confirmation of the committee. So I don't know if the mayor is still going to want that recommendation from the various boards or commissions, or if he just is going to appoint directly. I haven't been informed of that process.
Okay.
So as soon as that's understood, we'll give the commission aware of what they did.
We did have someone calling not too long ago, but we had a vacancy, correct?
We got three applicants right now.
Okay. And are they all recent?
Yes.
Okay.
We actually had four, but one of them lived outside the city.
Yeah.
Okay.
Recent.
So recent.
Yep. Should I put that on Facebook that there's an opening and anybody?
There should be a consistent thing on Facebook that any boards and commissions mm-hmm. that are interested in will always put applications in. Because we keep those on file.
Mm-hmm. For quite a while. I got a call for 2 years later.
Mm-hmm. So, even if there's not an opening, please put your application in, and once it becomes an opening, we'll get all those to
Yeah, well, I think that's why they kept mine for so long, and I had no idea. So they called me. They called me the day of the meeting and said, "Oh, by the way, we have you on the agenda." And I'm going, "What?" Like, this was over 2 years ago. I put in this application. I didn't even know I still did it. Like, I'm not going to be there.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Yep.
Just let us know how that all works out with Scott. Okay. At this point, just a motion to adjourn.
A motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion and second to adjourn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. I will see you guys back here February 21st, 2022.
All right.